Let me pray for us. Father, thanks that you've gathered us tonight. Thank you that we get to read scripture tonight and to recognize that you have been blessing us and blessing your people more than we might have been aware. I pray that you'll open our eyes to see wonderful things in your law. Amen. Now, because we're short on total on bodies, we're going to have a microphone here for a bit. Because we're short on the total number of people, I'm going to do a couple of the pictures, and you guys are going to do a couple of pictures. I forgot to tell you, as before, that tonight's theme is blessing. The theme of God's blessing, which is lost in the garden, being restored by God. Now, in the very beginning, Genesis 1, the first page of your Bible, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish of the air, and so on. So they live under God's blessing. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. So God has put his hand out and pronounced his blessing on what he's done. Now, in the Old Testament especially, when someone gave you a specific blessing, it had magical power. The act of naming somebody had very heavy duty significance early in the Bible. And the act of blessing somebody had very, very heavy duty significance. When Jacob and Esau are about, their dad's dying, Isaac is dying. Isaac's dying. He's blind. He can't see. Jacob sneaks in wearing his brother's coat so he can smell like Esau, and covered with goat skin so he's hairy. And he goes in and his dad says, I'm dying. Is that my son Esau? Because your voice is Jacob, but you smell like Esau. And of course, he says, no, I'm Esau. So Isaac gives him the blessing, puts his hand on him, gives him the blessing. Then when Esau, the real Esau, comes in, both Dad and Esau howl and cry. And Dad says, I can't give you the blessing because I gave it all to him. It's like saying, I gave him by magical power the blessing of God. I passed it on to him. It's no longer on you, Esau. And so they're wailing and working out, what can we do? What can we do? There's nothing to be done. So the blessing of God, especially in the Old Testament, you'll see it comes with really heavyweight meaning. It's the magical power to predict the future, to make things come true. In the blessing of Jacob over his 12 sons, he brings his son. In the blessing of Joseph, he goes to bless his two sons and he crosses his arms and blesses them in the wrong order. He gives a double portion to the second son. And they go, no, Dad, do. He says, no, I'm doing it this way. And then when Jacob dies, he gets his 12 boys in and he makes a blessing on each one of them and he predicts what will happen in the next 1,000 years onto each of their heads. That's how big and spooky this is. Now, when we were in the garden, God blessed us. Be fruitful and multiply. Come into my Sabbath. I've blessed the Sabbath. I've put my magical blessing on you. It has its own power. Now, we renounced the bequest of Dad. He gave us his blessing. And we said, no, we don't want it. In fact, we believe the serpent. We don't believe you. We think you're actually serpentine and you're being stingy. We trust the serpent. We trust ourselves. And so we forfeited the blessing. The blessing that was given in the garden is gone. And so there's no hope of us being able, well, we can, I'll pronounce blessing on me. That'll really work. But God is not finished with the story. And so he begins and he starts with one man and then he goes to the kids and then to the family and we're going to watch the story. Here we go. So because there's no group for this, here's a picture of a creamy, sandy-coloured nothing. But if you get up close, you can see, can you do this on the screen? Magic Media Man? It'll come up. Maybe it will. I'll tell you what's there. There is two tracks here across from the southwest to the northeast corner. And in between them, the tracks, these straight lines, there are the prints of a man. This is the sand and its footprints. And so if you study the footprints, here's what you'll see. The tracks of a cart, the footprints of a man, camel prints here, horse prints on this side, goat prints here, sheep prints on this side, human footprints again and human footprints again. Now they're different sizes, manservants and maidservants. Now there are stories of Abraham where he goes for a famine of one reason or another to one of the southwestern countries, Philistine, to Egypt first, then later on in his life to Gerar. And he gets there, he says, if I tell them, he says to himself, to his wife, if I tell them we're married, they'll kill me and take you to be part of the concubines because you're gorgeous. So tell them that you're my sister. Now that was partly true because she was a half-sister. And so so he can go and live there among these Egyptians and so on. They won't kill him, but they take her into the palace. She actually became a concubine twice. Then God inflicted huge curses and boils and death, stillbirths and everything on the Egyptians or the wherever he was, Abimelech's on. And supernaturally somehow the king of Egypt or who's the other guy? The leader, Phicol. No, I'm mixing up my stories. Says, what is this that you've done to me, Abraham? You've cheated. You've told me she was your sister, and now we've taken her into the royal harem, and now we've all got this sickness or boils or all of our. There's no babies being born anymore. Why have you deceived us? And Abraham says, "Well, she's my sister, really, half sort of." And what happens in each case? And then this happens with Isaac in the next generation. He goes down the same place. The grandson is running the country down there. Same thing happens again, and each time God ordains it that these enemy kings give Abraham vast quantities of wealth. And so he comes home from the southwest back to Canaan each time with carts laden with goods and wealth, camels, donkeys, sheep, goats, cattle, manservants and maidservants given to him each time. He goes down, does this terribly dodgy move about the lying and getting his wife in trouble, but each time, no matter what, he gets more blessing and more blessing, because God has said, where's the chapter headings of the whole Bible? Genesis 12 verse 1-3. God has said, I will bless you. Anybody who curses you, I'm going to curse them. So somebody's harassing your wife, guess what? They're going to have a bad life. Anyone who blesses you, I'm going to bless them. And so God superordains Abraham's life. Abraham goes and does things that don't look very good, and God blesses him anyway, because he has this destiny, and he does it to his son, and so on. Can you hear me? Is it a bit better? Abimelech. Abimelech was the king. Okay. So that is one of the ways in which the blessing of God, lost in the fall, got given to a man. And then to his children, and then to his family. Now, when they get to be a whole people, we're moving right along, drum roll, into this next picture. Now, 1.5 million or so people, children, there's, go back one. See the footprints there? There's all the sand. Okay, now next one. That picture there is an old slide, and my picture here is far more beautiful. However, I'm stuck with that one because I didn't fix it. Here we go. Balaam, I've got to move along. The Israelites have got to the edge of the Jordan River. They're about to cross over. They're in Moab. They're about to cross over and conquer the land. They're inside the king of Moab's land. And there's zillions of them there. The king of Moab is really agitated and he wants to destroy them all. But there's too many. So what he figures, I'm going to use sorcery. And so he sends way up to Ethiopia for Balaam, the sorcerer. Balaam, son of Beor. No, I'm mixing that up again too. Balaam. and Balak. They're the two bees on the right. See the purple bee and the pinky one? That's Balak and Balaam. They get together. He says, I'm going to pay you squillions of dollars to curse Israel magically. I want you to put a curse on them. And so Balaam sets up altars, he sacrifices animals, he catches their blood, he does the tea leaves, he uses sorcery and magic, and he goes to a barren height and he reaches out his hand to curse the Israelites because he can see some of them in the valley down there. And then he pronounces a blessing on them because God takes over his mouth and he can't help it. And he blesses them and he says, oh, that I would die the death of an Israelite, because their lives would be worth living. And he comes back down the hill and Balak, who's hired him, paying him good money, what are you doing? There's this huge fight. He says, I can't help it. God made me say it. We'll try it again. They come out another day, sacrifices, sorcery, whips it up, gets to the top of the mountain. I bless Israel. And he does it again. Comes down the mountain, they fight again. Balak's not learning. So he says, do it a third time. They go a third time, does all the sorcery, goes up to the mountain and says, I bless them. Oh! He can't help himself because God is trumping his mouth every time he gets there. Balak and Balaam then have a real fight. He says, you scumbag, I've paid your fortune. What's going on here? He says, I can't help it. Oh, wait for it. Wait. There's another prophecy coming. And Balak's going, no. Oh, microphone. And Balaam then reaches out and he says, may the Israelites crush the skulls of the sons of Moab. It's like, I didn't ask you to do that one. And so this is one of the stories where God trumps a sorcerer, trumps an enemy king, and says, no. You can try and curse them. But my blessing is on this people. And my blessing has power. My blessing is supernatural. My blessing will never be withdrawn because I vowed to Abraham, I will bless you. So now there's 1.5 million of them standing under the blessing of a sorcerer. But it's not the blessing of a sorcerer. It's the blessing of Yahweh who trumps a sorcerer. Then we move forward into the time of the kings. Saul, David, Solomon take over the land. Joshua takes over the land. Saul, David, Solomon become the kings. And at the end of the time of Solomon, we have, drum roll, enter group B11. And now it came to pass... Go, finish the sentence.
It came to pass in the time of the...
Kings.
The
stream. That Yahweh God,
that Yahweh opened the stream
of
blessing.
Blessing in the following way.
Drum roll.
Well, the Queen of Sheba comes to Solomon to see him because she's heard of his wisdom and stuff, and she's amazed by it, and so he gives her more than she brought for him, and in the end, he dies.
And she took mine.
She stole it. do a recap. Do whatever you thought about.
Well, it was
amazing. Okay.
Right
in
front of your mouth.
You got to get it here.
Okay. I talk loud enough.
Go.
What's amazing is that one thing it says in here that how wise Solomon was, and he was wiser than all the men from the east, and basically he was very blessed with wisdom, is one of his blessings. They were blessed with gold and spices, and Sheba brought many things to them, and Solomon actually gave things back to them, and she took it back to their country, where I guess it was Egypt.
She's from Yemen, probably.
Yemen? Yeah, oh, okay. They were so blessed. They had so many things. They had, they got tremendous amount of wood and gold, and that they could build a temple and gold shields and all sorts of things like that. So they're very incredible blessings. And so, I don't know, that's... So that's what I thought about it. So
that is how That is one way.
Oh, okay. But he won't let me skip anything. And so that is one way in which Yahweh God opened the stream of
blessing. Blessing.
In the time of
kings. The kings.
Okay.
Woo! Good, good job. Good job. Okay, if you've got a psalm, come on up. During the time of kings and afterwards, the wisdom literature was written. Psalms, Proverbs, so on. And earlier than that, the book of Job was written. And we're going to hear some little clippings and cuttings of how the themes of blessing show up in the wisdom literature. And group A first. The Job. Whoever's doing Job. Go.
Now it came to pass in the time of wisdom that Yahweh God opened the stream of blessings and the followed on it. Well, everyone kind of knows the story of Job. He was this guy and he was really like rich and had all these ox and cattle, and he had lots of sons and daughters, and they all prospered from this. And God blessed him, and he would do sacrifices for his sons and daughters just in case they had sinned against God for them. He'd look after them and stuff like that. And then the devil and God, right, they kind of like had a talk sort of a thing. And God was like, you can't take away my people. And he's like, oh yeah, let me see Job. I bet I can do it. And he's like, fine. So the devil started working on Job and taking away things and poisoning his crops and stuff like that. And all of his blessings all of his stuff just kind of got withered away. But his faith stayed strong. And in the end, he ended up getting them all back. And twice.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it.
After Job has prayed...
Come much closer. You've got to get it right here.
After Job has prayed for his friends and the Lord made him prosperous, again, he gave him twice as much as he had before.
Twice as much as he had before.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm ready.
And so that is one way in which Yahweh God opened the stream of wisdom.
Stream of blessings.
Stream of blessings in the time of
the wisdom literature. Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach in. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. Well, the tower is got a gentleman or a young man or whatever it is. We're going to say that the waters are rising and he's safe in the towers and he's not going to be touched. He's going to be safe and secure because God has taken care of him and put him on up high so the waters won't reach in.
And verse 1? You're verse 1 of that?
Verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
He's the blessed man there in the tower.
That's
and?
Basically it.
You're done?
Yeah.
Tell us the picture really quickly.
Well,
actually, you can't. The other group has the other half.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
We'll get the other group up. Go, go, go. Tell me what you got. Escape. Another place in the wisdom literature is?
Now it came time to pass in the time of wisdom that Yahweh God opened the stream of blessing in the following way. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and his leaf does not wither, whenever it prospers.
Jenny.
Okay, explain the picture. The man is studying the law day and night. He's in a tree by a calm stream. The waves start later. And he's being blessed because of this. And it says here in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And then in 28, it said, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways.
You will eat the fruit of your labor, blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around the table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. And may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel.
Thank you.
And so that is the one way in which Yahweh God opened a stream of blessing in the time of the kings.
Wonderful. Thank you. So God has opened, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in his word. He's put his powerful blessing on the man who is forgiven. He's put the blessing on Solomon in the time of the kings and the wisdom literature. Blessing like crazy. Now, of course, Solomon switches it all off, destroys the kingdom, and never recovers. But in come the prophets. Now, who's got the crazy prophets? Hands up. Who's got the three? Yeah, go. You've got this picture of the three guys. Oh, you haven't got... Yeah, you've got a... The picture on your sheet is not that, but it's the same thing. Oh, okay. It's a highway. See the highway sign?
Right, okay.
And Israel is where the sign is, and up there is the two countries. Go for it. These guys are going to be clever.
In the picture that we have the Egyptians and the Assyrians. They live in the northeast and the southwest. In the middle, I guess, it was Israel or God. No. Anyway, the Israel were the Egyptians were they had idols and they were fighting against each other and at a war and everything. But let me see. Where is it? I have it here. Don't go away. Oh, here it is. Okay. In that day, the five cities in Egypt would speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. One of them would be called the City of Destructions. In that day, there would be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt, and a monument to the Lord at its border. It would be a sign and witness to the Lord Almighty in the land of Egypt. When they cry out to the Lord because of the oppressors, he will send them a savior and a defender, and he will rescue them. So the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and in that day they will acknowledge the Lord.
No, that's the wrong people. No. God can't save the Egyptians. They're the bad guys. They're the enemies. No, but they can't be. He can't be rescued. They can't be crying out. He can't put an altar in Egypt.
Yes, he did.
What? You prophets are crazy. What else you got? It's the wrong people.
And let me see. In that day, there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria. The Assyrians will go to Egypt and the Egyptians to Assyria. And the Egyptians and Assyrians will worship together. In that day, Israel will be third along with Egypt and Israel, a blessing on the earth. The Lord Almighty will bless them, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance.
Not Assyria. You can't have Assyria. They destroyed 10 of our 12 tribes.
Believe me.
Whose Bible is this? Come on. What have you guys got?
That's math thing, the little directions.
Yeah.
In the highway. Sorry. Yeah, in our picture, there's hands, no gods, and just giving them their blessing.
All right. From our understanding, we realize that God was always there for them, waiting for them to call out and ask for his blessing. And as soon as they did, he blessed them all greatly and brought them together so that they were no longer enemies, but they worshiped God together. And pertaining to our own life, I guess we can look at it as a way that he brings us all together. We're all different people, but we're one family in Christ.
Wonderful. And in there it says that he gives them Egypt, he calls them my people. And then he says to Assyria, the ones I made. So that is one of the places where God's blessing is so big in the prophets that it starts blessing the wrong nations as well as Israel and going out and out and out. It's becoming international. What is going on? Meanwhile, the people have been decimated. They've got a terrible history for 400 years. Jerusalem's conquered. They're all killed. A couple of them left alive, shipped off to Babylon for 50, 70 years. And they come back, this straggling little group, And what happens? Who's got the Haggai? You've got it. Go, go. And whoever's got grace and truth, can you come up too? Lauren, you guys, can you come up? So tell us what this picture is and tell us what's going on. Now in the time of... It came to pass.
Now it came to pass in the time of Haggai, that Yahweh, God, opened the stream of blessing in the following way. People in Judah, they didn't want to build the temple. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. They wanted to do their own thing and be self-serving. And the Lord said, no, we need to rebuild the temple. And let's see what it says in 18. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth, from this day will I bless you.
In the picture, close, in the close, middle, close. There's
better get up. The mic can't hear you there.
Okay. In the middle, in the middle of the picture, there is a stone from the temple, and around it there are pictures of wheat stalks, grapevine, fig tree, pomegranate tree, and olive tree. And this relates to the story because when people start to rebuild the temple, God tells them that He blesses them and that their crops will die.
Brilliant. And?
The returning Israelites rebuilt the wall and then became slothful in rebuilding the temple. So the Lord sent Haggai and Zechariah to chasten them and stir them up and explain to them that they were suffering, their economy was suffering, because their punishment of sin, of materialism, they cared more about their houses than the house of God on earth. They began to repent quickly, and God shed out His blessings on them.
Wonderful. And so that is one of the ways in which the theme of blessing came true in the time of the exile. And there's an exact date, 18th December, 520 BC, where the temple corner was laid. And the crops hadn't even been planted yet, but God sent His blessing. Now, 400 years of silence, you guys can go. And we get to the advent of the advent.
Now it came to pass, in the time of the era of Jesus, that Yahweh God opened the stream of blessing of grace and truth in the following way.
Our verses pertain to the different prophets and just people that Jesus was with and leading right up to us. And in let's see, Romans 15:29, it says, Paul is saying, I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. And what is the blessing of Christ? It tells us in John 1:14-16, the Word became flesh and lived with us for a while. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has surpassed me because He was before me. From the fullness of His grace we have all received one blessing after another.
We also have that Matthew, the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and Matthew 13, read a couple of verses.
Matthew 5.
Well, 13. Let's go to break here.
If you're in one of the next groups, can you come up the back there? It's the one with the eight pictures.
Jesus Himself told us some of the blessings in what we call the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Some of them are, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will seek God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it just gives us blessing upon blessing upon blessing in Jesus' own words.
We had a lot of verses. 13, 16, 17.
But blessed are your blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it.
If you look at our picture, you see Jesus pouring. He has two jugs. In one hand, actually in our picture, there's a picture that's a wrapped present. It represents grace. And there's, on the other jug, is a Bible scroll, which represents truth. And while Jesus is blessing who? God is blessing Jesus while he's blessing David, Israel, and us. If you look at the Sermon on the Mount, the blessings of those, it meets us where we're at. No matter what we're wrestling with, where we're at, Jesus is going to bless us with grace and truth. And in Matthew 13, where it talks about we've had eyes and we haven't seen, we've had ears and we haven't heard, and now there is the ear of Jesus. We can, our eyes can see, and our ears can begin hearing things that we've never been able to understand before.
Wow, so we've got God blessing Abraham, and then blessing the Israelites, then blessing the kingdom, then blessing through the Psalms, then blessing through the prophets, then blessing to the exile. But now we've got blessing squared. Because in Jesus, John chapter 1, there is God's blessings upon blessings. And so when Jesus is the fulfillment of all blessings, he is the blessing we're given, watch what happens as it rolls out onto the church and around the world. Come on, groups.
Now this is the church, right?
Yeah. This group's got lots of pictures and...
I'm going to start and then you can go.
We're real organized here. Now it came to pass in the time of the church that Yahweh God opened the stream of blessings in the following way.
Come.
Yours is the first one.
Come. All
right. It's about the prophets, and Jesus came on earth and fulfilled the Bible, what he said. And couple of verses here. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he saith, say unto you.
And so that's the top corner picture where the prophets, Moses, Samuel, all of the old prophets, everything that's delivered to them is delivered to us in Christ.
Okay, and then I'm skipping to the third picture of the heart. And my scripture is Galatians 3:14. I'm just going to do the last part of it. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit.
So the top line, you've got the whole top line, yeah? So,
perfect. Yeah, so we did the top line. Yeah.
So there's salvation, there's the righteousness that's the blessing, and the promise of the Spirit is given to us as a blessing. But there's more, because there's blessing on blessing. So this group is going to do the bottom row. And I think you've got a different diagram on the very first one, but it's the same meaning. It's all the blessings of heaven. See that big bag?
The story, we've got Ephesians, 1, verse 3 to 14. It really is all one straight, direct story, just saying all the good stuff we got coming our way because of what Christ did for us in advance. Well, the one I was narrowing it down to was 7 and 8. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all the wisdom and understanding. So the first photo. Just how it all comes down to us from heaven.
Oh, well, that...
The bag of all...
The paper is different than the bag.
Yeah, that's a bag of all of heaven's blessings.
In the picture that we have, it's the world, and it's got, like, space, and there's higher, and it's pouring down on earth, which is just God's everything coming down on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff. And, do you want me to do the whole picture? And then the second one, with the people and the hand, that's God choosing the stuff before even the fall and everything, so he's pre-choosing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coin is the riches of wisdom and what else was it?
And our inheritance.
And understanding and everything, yeah. And it's just symbolized as a coin. And the seal is... I'm bad at this.
They're doing great.
Oh, yeah. It's like the Holy Spirit. It's just showing that you're one of...
Yes, yes. Wow, great. Good job. So, there's just from one passage in Ephesians, we have this blessing, all these blessings in the heavenly realms, and counts them all off, and there's just some of them being chosen, an inheritance being sealed, getting all the blessings of heaven poured on us. And so, the blessing was squared, now it's pouring out on all of us, and God's bringing it up to a climax. And where does the story end? So, the best part... Now, this picture up here is not as good as your picture. So if you're going to do the curtain part of it, you need to explain a bit.
Right.
This is big. This is big. Drum roll. Tell us what's coming.
Now it came to pass in the time of the new creation that Yahweh God opened the stream of blessing in the following way. Our picture shows the tree of life as well as like a curtain on either side. And so if you remember back in Genesis when Adam and Eve fell and they were sent out of the garden, you remember what God did? He set up cherubim and I think like flaming sword or something on either side to keep them from the tree of life. So we were cast out, we were done, and this barrier, which isn't up there, but imagine a barrier on either side, okay, keeping us away from the tree of life, of blessing. And then if you remember when Jesus died on the cross, Matthew 27, 50 and 51 says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. So we have that parting of that barrier because of Jesus' death on the cross that now again gives us access to the tree of life.
Okay, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
Revelation 22:14.
Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city.
Carla told a little bit about the beginning in Genesis, and how the tree of life was created, and the river of life, and then that because of the fall...
Sorry.
So now we have entry into paradise. creation, the culmination of what God has planned for us. So we will be able to take physically and spiritually our blessing, and it will be forever.
And so that is one way in which Yahweh God opened the stream of blessing in the time of the new creation.
Amen. Thank you. Well done. So, there's a way in which the whole Bible stitches together, and God's been working on it all the way through, and He made a promise to Abraham, to Adam and Eve. They broke it. He made a promise again to Abraham, and then to Isaac, and then the kids and the family, and then the globe. And He's going to take us all home, and what we lost in the garden, which was access to the tree of life, the tree that God put the center of the garden, is coming back, and we all get in. So, let me pray. Let me make one more note. I know this material better than you guys, so I could present it a lot slicker, and it'd be faster and save you a lot of pain, but I'm really, really anxious that you do this. Watch. That makes sense. That if you can have the experience of reading the Old Testament or the Bible and this curious, crazy, weird stuff, and you go like, that paragraph makes sense, and it wouldn't have before, then that is a lot more valuable than me giving you a fantastic, slick presentation. And because the purpose of this is not that you go, oh, I can fit the Bible together. The purpose is so that you can go and read the Bible by yourself this week and stumble through and not be able to find your way around much, but then get there and go, I can make sense of that. I can get this. I can talk to God's talk. God, let me tell you about this. You know what you're doing here? You were doing that in the garden, and we screwed it up. And look, you're doing it back. So I want you to have the experience of that and be able to pray and have your own time with God. So that's why we're doing it lumpy, bumpy, awkward and embarrassing. Thank you for braving the microphone and for being here. Let me pray for us. Thank you that you have blessed us, Father, with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms that's beyond our wildest imagination. And thank you that you have so many blessings stored up that we can't even dream, that no eye has ever seen and mine could conceive. And thank you that you gave us all the blessings that we forfeited in the garden by giving us your Son. And we praise Him and we praise you, and we pray that you'll continue to peel our dull eyelids open, that we would see that you have blessed us and we can rest secure. We can sleep okay tonight because we're under your blessing. Glory to you. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for working valiantly tonight. Small crowd, but brave. Next week is the best stream. Seriously, next week is the one I enjoy presenting more than any other. It's incredible. It is. No, you got to come. Come on. It is the most exciting one because it will fry your brain. It will blow your eyes out the back of your mind. It's something that you never knew was in the Bible. So, drum roll. See you then.